So there's this young wife and her husband who lived in the U.S. She wanted to buy this special gift for her husband for Christmas. And but it was only September, so she knew she had lots of time. But the gift was not in every store, so she needed to search around and hunt around for it. And one week, she found it. It was still September, but she found it. And as she was in the store, she looked at all the different ones, and she picked the perfect one, and she took it up to the counter, and the manager of the store was there. And it was more money than she was expecting, and she didn't have that much money. So she said to the manager of the store, "Do you think we could put this on a layaway plan? Could I do that? You know, I'll pay you a little bit each month, and it's only September, and then by Christmas I'll have it all paid for, and I'll be able to take it home." And he said, "Well, you know what? Seeing your husband's an RCMP, a policeman, and I believe you're honest. And so if you will just give me the down payment today and promise to have it all paid off before Christmas, I'll let you take it home today." And she was ecstatic. She was so excited. So she took the gift home, gave him the down payment, took the gift home, wrapped it up. But she wasn't one for keeping secrets very well. She was so excited about the gift. She had it all wrapped up. That September night, she gave it to her husband and said, "Merry Christmas." And he unwrapped it, and he thought that was cool. And on October the 1st, though, he was called to work, or he was working, and he got a call over his radio that there was an armed robbery in progress. And so he responded to the call. And as he was going to the call, and just as he was arriving, he was just getting out of his car, the suspect was entering his car and fled off in the car. So he jumped back in his car. He chased the suspect through the streets, high speed. And then all of a sudden, the suspect pulled over. So he pulled his car in behind, got out cautiously, and headed towards the car. And as he was heading towards the car, the driver's door burst open. The fella turned around and shot the policeman. At 7 a.m. the next morning, there was a knock on the door. The wife opened the door. A police officer was there. And he said to the wife, "Your husband was pursuing a robbery suspect last night, and the suspect turned and shot your husband. But it's okay. It's okay. He's going to be just fine. He's in the hospital with some bruising, severe bruising. Because of the bulletproof vest that he was wearing, he'll survive. It protected his heart and his vital organs." That vest was the Christmas present that she had bought him. Thankfully, she was able to give it to him early. But it protected his heart. And so my question today is, what is protecting your heart? Not that you need a bulletproof vest when I'm speaking. I hope that I won't get that violent, I promise you. But what is protecting your heart? And that's the next piece of armor which Paul talks about in Ephesians. That thing that protects the vital organs, our heart and other vital organs. In Ephesians 6:14, Paul tells us, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place." Last week we talked about the belt of truth, and today we're going to talk about and take a look at the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers all those vital organs. It covers our chest right down to our abdomen. And Polybius, a Greek historian, stated that it was known as the heart protector. That's what they knew it as more than the breastplate. They would call it the heart protector. because it protected the heart and all those other vital organs. It protected them from the sword, the arrows, the spears, and other weapons. It was made of leather and then had metal over top of it that was tied to it, like bronze or other metal. And it was good. It protected the heart, the lungs, and those other organs. Lloyd-Jones, who's a commentator, a Bible commentator, stated that people in Paul's day thought of the organs inside us, those organs, as the seat of affection. And in fact, they had significant, they gave significance to the particular organs, practically all the organs that were inside us. And it's not a matter, and I'm not talking here because it's a matter of whether they were right or wrong in giving that significance to those organs. And that's not what Paul was concerned about. Paul was concerned that that's what the culture believed, and in saying we need to take care to protect where our feelings, where our affection, where our desires, where our conscience is controlled. Paul knew that these things all played a great part in our lives, and if we let them run rampant, they would allow the schemes of Satan to have free reign. There's nothing wrong with our feelings, with our affections, with our desires, with our conscience. There's nothing wrong with them as long as they are kept in check and properly run. But unfortunately, when we allow these things to happen and allow them to be control us more than we control them, they are the heart. The writer of Proverbs 4:23 exhorts, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." In other words, Paul knew that inside us, spiritually, our spiritual heart, our mind, was the wellspring of life. And if we didn't take care of it, if we didn't guard it, if we didn't put something over it, Satan could get in there and destroy it. And that's why Paul said we need to protect it with a breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness. When we look at righteousness, we see that there's two parts to righteousness. There's that part, it's something like a cloak or a blanket that completely covers us. And then there's also the part that it's something like that is infused into our lives over time. And we're going to look at these today. Righteousness is defined as the quality of being morally correct and justifiable. The word righteousness has the meaning move in a straight line. Originally, the word righteousness was right wise, be wise rightly. And it meant in the straight or right way. Used in reference to morality, righteousness means living or acting in the right way. But what is right? What is right? I mean, today our society would tell us that, you know, everyone has to determine for themselves what is right. I mean, if I think that having this box of Kleenex here is right, but somebody else might say, no, it's right to have it down there. Society says we determine what is right. Most of us would say that we do things that are right, that we're righteous people, that we're okay. We're good people. Even Paul declares that he is righteous. Listen to Philippians chapter 3, verses, the last half of verse 4 to 6. It says, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, a zeal, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Here, Paul himself seems to see himself as faultless, as a righteous, self-righteous person. Like, I've got it made. I've obtained the standard. This is righteousness. This is what the world says righteousness is. And I've made it. I've done it all by myself. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee. I'm faultless, he says. I've lived up to the standard of the world. However, Scripture offers a different standard. Indeed, the ultimate standard. The standard is God himself. See, God's character reveals what is absolutely right. He is the measure of moral right and wrong. How does our righteousness line up with God's standard? Well, look at Isaiah 64, verse 6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. In other words, it doesn't matter how good our deeds are. It doesn't matter how much money you give to the church. Don't stop giving. That's not a sign to stop giving. But it doesn't matter. We don't become righteous by what we do or what we say or what we think. That's not what really makes us righteous. We might think, as Paul once did, that our righteousness is faultless. But we and everyone else misses the mark. We fall short. We've all sinned. And Paul definitely understood this. In fact, if we read, we'll continue to read on in verses 7 and 9 in Philippians chapter 3. It says, but whatever was my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, and may I gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and by faith. See, Paul grasped that his righteousness on his own was nothing. It wasn't worth anything. And it didn't matter how hard he worked at making his righteousness, becoming more righteous, it wasn't going to accomplish anything. Because righteousness is found in God and God alone. The only way to receive righteousness is by faith. Righteousness is what God puts in us because of faith, not by works, not by what we do. Our protection is not in to be sought in any way by the works of our own, but only in what Christ has done for us and in us. That faith that brings righteousness, that faith comes from believing what the Son of God, what Jesus did for us, how he died on that cross for our sins, how he took our filthy rags and exchanged them for for his righteousness. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The breastplate, that breastplate of righteousness, which is from God, it is made and prepared by God and given to us by faith. See, Satan deceived Paul, and just like he had deceived the other Pharisees. They thought they were righteous. They thought they had obtained it. In fact, they persecuted the Christians. That's how righteous they felt. They thought they knew what they were doing. And Satan still blinds us today and blinds many people today to say that it's our self-righteousness that makes us righteous, that makes us holy in front of God. But it was when Paul accepted that Jesus, what Jesus had done, that God put his righteousness in him. And that's what God does in us. As we accept Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, as we receive what Jesus did for us, then God clothes us with his righteousness. That's the first part of righteousness. It's just poured out upon us. It's put upon us. Yet there's more. God doesn't just want his righteousness just to be sort of put upon us. He wants it to be worked in us. He wants us, the righteousness of Jesus, to work in us. He wants to infuse his righteousness inside us that we become more like Jesus. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And that is beginning. That is the beginning. That's what makes us Christians. It's the foundation. Next, God wants to work his righteousness into our daily lives, into every part of us. His righteousness needs to become our new DNA, as it were. In a sense, it's like a blood transfusion. When you get a blood transfusion, and I think of my mom, her white blood cells were really low, and she had no energy at all in their last days. And they gave her a blood transfusion, and she didn't just become instantaneously energetic, but it did change her, and it did give her the strength she needed. It worked in her one cell at a time. It started to change her. And that's what is happening here. It's what we need. God's righteousness working in us. And it needs to change us one cell at a time. We need to start working that righteousness. Paul exhorts us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We are called to do our part, to reveal to those around us the righteousness of God. We are to work hard. We are to work hard. We are to work hard to follow the Bible, to do what we're called to do, so others will see who we are. They will see that we are God's, and they will see God's righteousness in us. He's a holy God, and we're called to be holy as he is holy. The more of Jesus, the more of his life, the more of his character we have instilled in us, that we allow in us, the more of his righteousness changes us. And the more out there they see it. It's not about just coming to church and being righteous in church. It's about showing the world the righteousness of God and how the righteousness of God has changed our lives. God's armor is there for us. Will we put on the breastplate of righteousness? That breastplate of righteousness is having God's righteousness put on us so we are His, having His righteousness infused in us, working in us, that we would become more like Jesus day by day. The breastplate of righteousness brings confidence into our lives so that we can defeat the enemy, so we can be victorious against Satan's schemes. I mean, that righteousness of knowing who we are. Think about it. We know that we are saved. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know that we are God's child. We know that we are walking with Him, that He'll never leave us, that He stands right there with us. All because of His righteousness. When we know that, how does that make us feel? That gives us confidence to stand, doesn't it? We go, wow, I can do this. Greater is He who is in me than he who's in the world. My sins are forgiven. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I can defeat this. I can defeat the enemy only because of what God has done in me and what Jesus has done in me. Because of His righteousness, I have the victory. I can stand strong. When the temptation comes, I can stand strong. I am no longer controlled by sin. Listen to Psalm 15. Verses 2 and verse 5 exclaims, He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from the heart, he who does these things will never be shaken. When we walk in God's righteousness, we stand strong. We won't be shaken. May God's righteousness cover our hearts and minds each day. So the question is left to us. Will we pick up that breastplate of righteousness? Will we put it on? Or do we just read about the armor of God and say, oh, that's nice, but it's not really for me. I don't really need to buckle that belt of truth around me. I don't really need that breastplate of righteousness. I just need to be good enough. God wants us to put on that breastplate of righteousness and grow daily to be more like Jesus. Will we put it on?